The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, GBC holds second in the series of its 80th anniversary lectures in Accra this afternoon. Government to partner private entity to refine crude oil and overhaul marketing component of toll. EPA to take AMA to court again for continuous dumping of untreated sewage at Koligono Beach. National Executive Committee of MPP to meet tomorrow over party's affirmative action policy. Chairman of Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission promises free, fair and transparent elections on Saturday, and former Liberian President Charles Taylor ordered to serve rest of term jail term in UK. The news in detail. The Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, will this afternoon hold the second in the series of its 80th anniversary lectures in Studio One in Accra. The program will be broadcast live at 3 p.m. on GTV, affiliate networks, and all GBC radio stations across the country. The former board chairman of GBC, Professor Stephen Adai, who is the guest speaker, says it is time the public adequately funded the state broadcaster so that its mandate remains a truly public service entity amidst the stiff competition on the media terrain. GBC, on the other hand, needs to justify its continuous relevance and use its platform to promote the national agenda rather than that of a political party. Professor Adai shared these thoughts with Rebecca Ekwe.
Professor Stephen Adai was GBC board chair in 2006 during the tenure of Madame Eva Loco as director general. He was one-time head of UN systems in South Africa and Namibia. Professor Adai will be speaking on GBC at 80, the relevance of public service broadcasting.
I have a feeling of an unusual responsibility to be asked to address the nation on GBC's 80th anniversary. I will be arguing along the lines of the reason why, despite market and competition, we still need the state. So in the same way, despite the commercial broadcasting houses, there is the need for one which is dedicated to public interest. I intend to challenge GBC to justify its continued relevance, especially by promoting public interests and things that are relevant to this nation, giving a voice to the voiceless, and also bringing specialist points of view to issues rather than the issuer MPP view, NDC view, and the like.
Professor Adai shares the view that the state broadcaster has a constitutional mandate to remain a truly dedicated public broadcasting station and cautions calls by some to take GBC off government subvention.
But be very, very careful about it. I think that GBC should not become totally commercial, whereby as soon as you do that, then partisan interest will drive it. I think a public broadcasting service should be publicly funded.
The former rector of GIMPA had a take on migration from analog to digital broadcasting.
You have no choice. You have to go digital or you perish. But I think that it will increase competition, and I see that you're already positioning yourself to deal with the competition, which is very good.
With his background in economics and leadership, Professor Adai says GBC's leadership and staff must take advantage of the constitutional provisions to remain independent and insulated from all governmental controls. He challenged GBC to set the agenda to force politicians to promote an issue-based campaign in the 2016 general elections.
We must use public broadcasting to force the politicians to really come out with an agenda for transforming Ghana, and not slogans such as Eshi Rado Rado or Eyedi Kekekeke.
Professor Adai shares in GBC's vision as the authentic voice of broadcasting in Ghana.
In fact, when we were young, the only source of news was GBC. And GBC was, in addition to that, some of us from Shiromwasi, that's where we learned English. Because, you know, you listen in the morning, there is an English program. So for those of us who have been in this country, for most of not as old as GBC 80, though some of us by gray hair, we look like Methuselah, benefited from it in our youth. It was the source of it. We never had any access to papers and everything else. And today, believe it or not, no matter what I do, if I can, 7 a.m. and 6 p.m., I'm listening to either radio or television, because at least in the midst of all the hullabaloo, that is where you get an authentic view of the news that's going on in Ghana.
Any childhood memory of
GBC? Oh yeah, the box is in the father's house, you know, where my father's room, then you know, you hear, there was some nice voices. Here's the news read by Vaida Kurandi Nasanti and the rest, you know, you were, and Ofelo, those, when they were doing the commentaries, the people were quite super, you know. So in my village, I knew Ofelo Do and that thing, Ofelo Do, Baba Yara and that. You see, you know, that's where you get, yeah. It was almost like our social gathering in my village, and that was a real village. So at least we were connected to the world.
Former board chairman of GBC, Professor Stephen Adai, sharing his views about the state broadcaster in that report by Rebecca Ekwe. Now, the Association of Past Broadcasters of GBC, GASBROAD, has given the Pensions Office of the Controller and Accountant General's Department up to next week, Monday, to resolve all issues concerning their pensions and gratuity. GASBROAD says it will go on demonstration on Tuesday if the Pensions Office fails to address its grievances. Speaking to the media in Accra, the chairman of the association, who is a former director general of GBC, David Anaglate, said attempts by the pension office to calculate their pensions and gratuities based on their salary level as at the time of retirement is unacceptable. Mr. Anaglate also wants the payments to cover all the 300 affected members and not selected pensioners. Zephaniah Dana has the details.
With over 1,000 members across the country, the Association of Past Broadcasters of GBC say they have endured a great deal of frustration from the Pensions Office of the Controller and Accountant General's Department. This is as a result of the back and forth between members and the Pensions Office regarding unresolved issues of their pensions and gratuities. They say pensioners who were employed at GBC before 1972 should have been placed on Cap 30 instead of the current SNIT scheme. This has led to the situation where about 300 pensioners have not been paid since their retirement. This issue has arisen because of the Pensions Office wants to calculate the pensions and gratuities based on the salary level at which the members retired. The chairman of the association, David Anaglate, said they are unhappy by what they termed the tactics of the Pensions Office.
We have reached the end of our endurance. To make things worse, the pension office is saying that they will calculate our gratuity based on 1995 when I retired. The same thing, the salaries of that time, which was nothing. I retired as director general on a salary of 40 Ghana cedis. They want to use that salary to calculate my gratuity. The same thing applies to everybody. A gratuity will be paid. I'll get about 1,200. That's all today. What can I do with 1,200? Number two, the list which they should use must be a holistic list, not for to just take half the number or one third I pay and say that's it. Then the rest will be coming. So we must use a holistic list. 300 people, no less. He shouldn't pay just 100 and then we will be suffering again. And if we don't see any sign that it is being done, between now and Monday, we shall go on demonstration.
They are, however, grateful to the President and the Ministry of Finance for their efforts in trying to resolve the issue.
There was a report by Zephaniah Dana. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua, says TOR will soon be refining crude oil at optimal level. He says government is in talks with the private entity Petro Saudi to overhaul the marketing component of the refinery. The aim is not to diversify TOR, but to boost its working capital. Mr. Bua made this known to Parliament when the MP for Mesia South, Dr. Matthew Poku Prempe, sought the details of the joint venture arrangement between Petro Saudi and TOR.
Consent and supply agreement, shareholders agreement, and Africa agreements, among others, are being reviewed and negotiated by the Attorney General's Department, the Ministry of Petroleum, the Oil Refinery, the Ministry of Finance, and Petro South. TOR has submitted the review documents to resolve the consultation. The negotiated government consent and support agreement, other related agreements and documents, will, as required by law and practice, be submitted to Cabinet for approval and thereafter Accra submitted to Parliament for ratification. The government of Ghana and Turkey can have the GCSE and other related documents before Parliament by the second quarter this year. The history of tomorrow's finding is that the Ghana Supply Commission had always provided the working capital needed to import food. We know that Tenaro family had had challenges without working capital to import fuel. And so the whole idea is to make sure that we bring in clear with the working capital and the capacity to partner for import fuel. The processes leading to that happening is what we are engaged. Mr. Speaker, let me make it very clear. The partnership between Tamara Refinery and PetroSaudi is not divesting any aspect of talk. Tamara Refinery is not for sale. There is an engagement on the marketing arm of Tamara Refinery. That is all what we are engaging. And let me make it clear. The government of Ghana does not intend to sell Tamara Refinery. We are bringing the partner that will provide the working capital to work with all of the marketing arm and bring him to the. We are working on the processes, and as soon as we are done, that process will begin. In the meantime, the government is committed to continue to invest in the Tamara Refinery to make it efficient.
On steps the ministry is taking to ensure Toa procures crude oil for refining, Mr. Bois said the ministry is securing $37 million to complete Toa's profitability enhancement project. He said already $30 million has been sunk into this.
The Ministry of Petroleum is committed to ensuring that Tamara Refinery operates efficiently with consistent supply of crude oil. In 2011, the Ministry of Petroleum, then the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum, conducted a comprehensive audit of Tamara Refinery. The audit identified Toa's challenges as being mainly technical and commercial and concluded that Toa needed to complete the planned stabilization and enhancement project on the crude distillation unit, residual fuel, catalytic cracking units to enable to procure crude and run efficiently. After the audit, the Tamara Refinery submitted a comprehensive action plan and capital expenditure budget, the plan stabilization and profitability enhancement project, which amounted to about $67.7 million. Subsequently, the Ministry of Petroleum facilitated the release of the first tranche of $30 million from the Ministry of Finance to talk to initiate initiate implementation of the enhancement project. Work on the first phase of the project has been substantially completed. Earlier this year, the Ministry of Finance has successfully completed an internal audit to validate the disbursement of the $30 million by Toa. After the audit, the Ministry of Petroleum and Toa have engaged the Ministry of Finance to release the outstanding balance of $37.7 million, which has been approved and is awaiting disbursement.
That was the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofi Bua. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. GBC holds second in the series of its 80th anniversary lectures in Accra this afternoon. Government to partner private entity to refine crude oil and overhaul marketing components of Toa. EPA to take AMA to court again for continuous dumping of untreated sewage at Koligono Beach. National Executive Committee of MPP to meet tomorrow over party's affirmative action policy. Chairman of Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission promises free, fair and transparent elections on Saturday, and former Liberian President Charles Taylor ordered to serve rest of jail term in UK. Stay with us. Welcome back. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has threatened another court action against the AMA for refusing to put an end to the dumping of untreated sewage at the Koligono Beach in Accra, also known as Lavender Hill. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, Chief Executive of the EPA, Daniel Amlalu, said if the AMA does not stop the dumping of untreated sewage at the Koligono Beach, it is feared there will be another outbreak of cholera in the capital, especially with the approach of the rainy season. A legal practitioner, Francis Xavier Sosu, has advocated a more stringent sanitation law to back the National Sanitation Day. Mr. Sosu is also proposing the establishment of a National Sanitation Act that will consolidate all the sanitation policies and regulations in the MMDAs and also back it with sanctions. Addressing a new news conference in Accra, Mr. Sosu said until this is done, the National Sanitation Day program and sanitation in general will not see any improvement. A report by Rita Nyako.
Mr. Sosu said the country must harmonize its sanitation laws and ensure strict compliance and enforcement to sustainably improve sanitation and resolve its attendant problems. He said there is the need to establish a sanitation court as well as sanitation task forces in all MMDAs across the country that will deal with sanitation cases. Mr. Sosu proposed that custodial sentences of minor offenses be converted into sanitation services. He was of the view that the sanitation problem is an all-inclusive one, and until all gets involved, the country will continue to be plagued by filth.
I would want to commend the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development. This has begun, they have been consistent in following up the project, but must this be a baby and an obligation of just one ministry? And I honestly do not know what our parliamentarians do on National Sanitation Day, because as parliamentarians, they will have to go back to their constituencies and make them understand why the National Sanitation Day must be observed by every individual in the community, with they themselves leading the way. Unless we are thinking that it is not a problem, it is a big challenge to us. The health problem of poor sanitation is a big problem in Ghana. Or we are waiting for a big epidemic. Are we waiting for the worst before we begin to take action as a country? I believe that the time is now. We are all guilty of the poor sanitation we have in this country. And if we want to see a real change, then we
The acting director in charge of environmental health and sanitation at the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, Nademedeme, said the lukewarm attitude of Ghanaians towards sanitation is worsening the problem. He added that Ghana is doing well with the MDG goals, but these gains cannot be sustained if environmental sanitation is not addressed.
That was Rita Nyako reporting. The Ghana Water Company has come out with a customer charter to improve urban water supply in the country. The customer charter is a document which is to serve as a guide to the company to help address its operational lapses. In a message, the outgoing Minister for Water Resources, Works and Housing, Collins Dauda, said the charter is appropriate because it spells out the rights and responsibilities of both the company and consumers. It also provides the level of services the customer expects. The Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, says government should immediately conduct an evaluation of the effectiveness and impact of all the projects and programs that have been funded with revenues from the petroleum sector. This, the committee believes, will inform the people and also provide the basis for spending allocations in the future. At the sixth public meeting of the Committee on the Management of Petroleum Revenues in Accra, a former chairman, Major Daniel Ablokwaku, noted that proceeds from the sector should be channeled into projects that the public can easily identify. Mercy Dako and Rhoda Wilson have the details.
The Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, is a statutory committee established under Section 51 of the Petroleum Revenue Management Act 2011, Act 815, with a mandate of monitoring and evaluating compliance with the Act and also provide a platform for public debate on spending prospects of petroleum revenues. The sixth public meeting was to afford PIAC the opportunity to discuss the 2013 report on petroleum revenues. Major Ablokwaku noted that over the years, revenues from the sector have been spread thinly across various projects, with the public not enjoying the real impact. He said the need for government to evaluate the projects will go a long way to ensure transparency and accountability.
The projects are spread in so many places that people keep on asking, so what has the oil money been used for? But if we could isolate one or two or three major projects and then you send sufficient funding into that project, then when people ask questions, you can point out that, okay, look, this is what we did. So there is a need to step back and look at the selection of projects and decide that we are not going to. But I think the minister took the cue. So in the 2015 budget, decided to narrow down. But because we are not talking about 2015, that's why I left it out.
The operations manager at Star Ghana, Mary Tobin Osei, who chaired the meeting, said although there is some form of transparency in managing the resource, accountability continues to remain an issue.
That was Mercy Darko and Rhoda Wilson's report. Poultry farmers in the country are calling for government support to expand the production of broilers locally, since imported ones are taking over the markets. According to them, the lack of production materials and high cost of production have raised the prices of local broilers, making imported ones gain a larger market share due to their comparatively low prices. At a stakeholders' briefing in Accra, members of the Ghana National Association of Poultry Farmers advocated the implementation of government policy which mandates importers to patronize 40% of local poultry products while reserving the right to import 60% of foreign ones.
The meeting was to launch the poultry policy document advocacy aimed at developing an efficient and sustainable poultry industry. This has been necessitated by the decline in production and markets for local poultry products in the country. Ghana lost more than 70% of chicken meat market to imports in the 1990s. The situation has worsened, with imported products currently enjoying 95% of the market, leaving local products at a lower level of only 5%. An executive member of the Ghana National Association of Poultry Farmers, Kofi Brobeche, said the problem is affecting the local industry and called for government intervention.
All over the world, any poultry industry that is surviving on the chicken meat production. But we are not seeing the preparation well, because as we're talking, the first few million birds that was produced last year is still sitting in the cold stocks. It has not been sold. So what are we being told? So we are hoping that government haven't said that they're going to give us a 40% allocation of the chicken that is consumed in the country. We would have that thing well documented and hope that it won't be like we had a previous time where they increased tariffs and within a matter of a few days they had to reverse it because there was pressure coming from somewhere. So
while we move on to other stories, the National Council of the MPP is likely to meet tomorrow to take a decision on the party's affirmative action policy. A member of the National Executive Council, Dr. Kwame Amwakun Tufor, told Radio Ghana that the party's flag bearer, Nanado, has met both NEC and the National Council on the issue. He is sure the council will consider the voices of the masses before taking a decision. Meanwhile, spokesperson for Nanado, Mustafa Hamid, says the executive will communicate any new developments to the media. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Hamid said it is worrying the rate at which the party is losing the number of women in parliament, hence the need to protect their seats. The first Dutch Business and Education Fair has opened at the Netherlands Embassy in Accra. The fair, which is an initiative of the embassy, seeks to promote higher education and the exchange of knowledge among students. The fair attracted a cross-section of students and the business community in Ghana. Presentations on the prospects and opportunities of higher education in the Netherlands were made. A senior trade and information officer at the embassy, Gladys O'Fair, told Radio Ghana that the fair seeks to bring the business community and educational institutions on the same platform to interact and develop effective network that will lead to both private and public sector development. She asks students to take advantage of the many opportunities that abound by studying in the Netherlands. We'll take a breather. Stay with us. Welcome back. As part of its social obligations to the Muslim community, the IDB Graduates Association, beneficiaries of scholarships from the Jeddah-based Islamic Development Bank, IDB, has donated food items worth 5,000 Ghana cedis to inmates of the Wajir Leprosarium. Presenting the items, the coordinator of the IDB scholarships program in Ghana and chairman of the IDB Education Trust Ghana, Alhaji Rahim Gbadamusi, explained that the essence of the scholarship program is that graduates who have benefited from it should be sensitive to the plight of the poor and marginalized in their own communities and undertake projects that address their challenges. Receiving the items on behalf of the Reverend Father Andrew Campbell, the supervisor of the Leprosarium, George Kwanza, expressed appreciation and the gratitude of the inmates of the for the kind gesture of the IDB graduates. The chairman of Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission, Professor Atahiru Jega, says the commission is under pressure to deliver a general election that is free, fair and transparent, a notch higher than the 2011 one. In an interview with a Nigerian television station, he said no individual or institutions are putting pressure on the commission to do anything contrary. And former Liberian President Charles Taylor has been ordered to serve the rest of his jail term in the UK after losing a request to be transferred to Rwanda. He argued that he was being denied his right to a family life because his wife and children had not been granted UK visas. The judges rejected this argument, saying they had not properly applied. And now to end the news, the main points again. GBC holds second in the series of its 80th anniversary lectures in Accra this afternoon. Government is to partner private entity to refine crude oil and overall marketing component of TOR. And former Liberian President Charles Taylor has been ordered to serve the rest of his jail term in the UK. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.